Together in a small seaside place called Magdala. People of the town called us the two Marys. Together we learned all the skills that a woman needs to make a happy and well-fed household: grinding barley, making bread, pickling olives and making olive oil, growing herbs, sewing clothes, and much more. Together we learned the rhythms of life, 6 days of work followed by the quietness of the Sabbath, the sowing of crops, the joy of harvest, the birth of lambs and kids. Together we learned about who we are as God's people, the stories of our ancestors, of Abraham and Sarah, how our people were led out of Egypt by Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, great King David, and the prophets. Together we learned to wait for the coming of the one who would redeem Israel. Our families travelled together to the great city of Jerusalem each year for Passover. Mary and I were inseparable. Things changed as we became teenagers. Mary became strange. She heard voices that no one else could hear, and she mumbled to herself. Then she started to neglect her appearance. Her hair was all over the place, her clothes were dirty and ripped. The old Mary was gone. I was alarmed. Mum was alarmed. Her mum was alarmed. Surely she was possessed by demons. I began to shun her because I was embarrassed to be her friend. One day, Mary disappeared altogether. I'm ashamed to say that I was relieved. I married Cleopas, a good and kind man. He was a bit older than me, a bit old school, but we had a happy marriage. We set up home in Emmaus, quite close to Jerusalem. The life of a woman is hard, but I was content. Then one day, out of the blue, I bumped into Mary. I hardly recognized her after all these years. She looked wonderful. She glowed. And she was as lucid as anyone. I was stunned. Mary told me that her life had been very hard as the demons drove her desperately from one town to the next, eating scraps and often sleeping rough. Then she excitedly told me about meeting Jesus and how he had driven out the demons. She was whole again. She was now traveling with him. It hardly seemed decent for her to be spending so much time with a man who was not her husband. But there was no denying that she was now healthy. She urged us to come and meet him. There was a large group of people who followed Jesus around the countryside. I was amazed to see how many women there were. Each of them had a story similar to Mary's, being healed of mind and body and leaving everything to follow him. Some were quite high born and wealthy. They had left everything: home and family, status and respectability, to travel with Jesus. There was no denying there was something special about him. We'd heard of Jesus, of course, but meeting him transformed my life. He wasn't stunningly good looking. In fact, he was quite nondescript. But he spoke with astonishing authority. He told stories that awakened something in me, something that had lain dormant since I was a child and heard the stories of our faith. Jesus spoke to women and men alike with respect. He could be fiery especially when the religious authorities were having a go at him. But with those who followed him, he was patient and kind. He would eat with anyone, rich and poor, sinful and righteous. And in all he said and did, he pointed us to God. Cleopas and I wondered if he was the one to redeem Israel. A few months later, Cleopas and I went up to Jerusalem for Passover. Mary was busy cooking Passover dinner for Jesus and invited me to join her. We were a happy bunch. Jesus' mother, also called Mary, Joanna, Susanna, and a few others. We cooked up a storm, the best Passover dinner ever. After dinner, Jesus and the blokes took off and we started the washing up. We were exhausted, but our delight in the meal gave us the energy we needed. We were in the middle of cleaning up when we got the news that Jesus had been arrested. The trial, such as it was over quickly. The outcome was never in doubt. I'd never seen anyone crucified, but I wanted Jesus to know that he was not on his own. We followed behind him as he followed the cross. Jerusalem was full of pilgrims who taunted him. After a time, a passerby was drafted to help him carry his cross. We watched Jesus die. His mother Mary and her sister, my dear childhood friend Mary, who now had her life back thanks to Jesus, and me. The other women came too, standing off to the side. It was horrific. We held each other up and we just sobbed and sobbed. The next day was the Sabbath, so Cleopas and I stayed in Jerusalem. We knew better than to travel home on the Sabbath. It was barely light the next morning when Mary came rushing into the house, shouting that she had seen Jesus. My heart sank. The poor woman had been healed, and now she was delusional again. I couldn't face her. I nudged Cleopas, "Let's go home." Our legs felt like lead. The journey seemed never ending. We were bowed down with grief, overwhelmed with sadness that Jesus had died, overwhelmed with sadness that the demons had entered Mary again, and overwhelmed with sadness at the loss of a dream. We really thought that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. What now? A stranger caught up with us, and we were glad of the distraction. He seemed not to know about the death of Jesus, even though it had been the talk of Jerusalem. I saw Cleopas flinch, thinking this man was a complete drongo. So, rather impatiently, he told the stranger about what had happened and our hopes for Jesus. Anyone got a tissue? Oh, Jeff's got a hanky. Sorry, I wrote the story myself, but I still find it really moving. The stranger listened good-naturedly and then took us through all the old familiar stories of our faith. These were the stories we had heard from childhood, the stories of Moses and the prophets. He explained how all these stories pointed to Jesus. We'd never made this connection. We hung on to every word. We saw a significance in these well-known stories that we had never seen before. We arrived at our home and the stranger continued walking. It was nearly dark, so we invited him to stay. He needed a bit of persuasion, but in the end, he led the way into the house and we followed. Quickly assemble a meal, bread, hummus, olives, grapes, and we sat down to eat. the stranger took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to us. This was just what Jesus did at Passover. Cleopas and I gasped. The stranger disappeared. It was Jesus. Our trip home from Jerusalem had seemed never ending. Now we flew back as quickly as our legs would carry us. We had to give the others the news. Jesus was alive. Mary had not been delusional. We burst into the house, overwhelmed with joy. And his friends told us that others had seen him too. God's love is greater than death. Jesus is alive and will be with us always. Hallelujah.